From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. We've been asking if we can find racial fingerprints on the ballots we'll cast this November. And by racial fingerprint, we're referring to the personal experience, the individual racial experience we all carry into the voting booth. Most voters say their decision between Barack Obama and John McCain is not based on race. But we're trying to get at something more subtle than the standard questions in a poll. We wondered if the decision is not based so much on the candidate's race, but on the racial experience of the voter. I've been listening to voters describe their experience with Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep. Steve, welcome to this program.
Glad to be here, Michelle. As you know, earlier today on Morning Edition, we asked a group of 13 voters if America was ready for a black president.
This afternoon, those same 13 voters will tell us more about their lives and their racial identity and how they plan to vote. And it should be noted that I'm black.
And I'm white. And our voters are black, white, and Latino, which means they're as diverse as the city in which they live. It's York, Pennsylvania, in a presidential swing state. And many of the voters told us this election has them thinking about race and new ways.
I don't know if I can see another old white man as president.
That's Cal Weary. He's a black high school drama teacher who voted for President Bush in the past two elections, and he knows that his declaration might sound harsh.
And that sounds very racist for me to say it that way, but it is about appearances, and it is about this country everywhere else being looked at as being the biggest lie. You tell everyone in the world that we have the greatest opportunities here. You tell them that anyone can start from shining shoes and become the in charge of a Fortune 500 company. But then you say to the rest of the world, you say, you can have everything, but you can't live in the big White House.
Race is a complicated subject. We all know that, especially when discussed in a diverse setting. And our three-hour discussion was more difficult for some than others. There were lots of folded arms, nervous sighs, at times confrontation.
This is Don. I don't think there's to be a problem with a black man. I personally just don't think Obama's the right one. He doesn't have the experience.
Don Geddes is a law enforcement officer. He's white. And his remarks set off one of the black voters in the room, Margie Orr, a receptionist.
Can I? This is Margie.
Sure.
And I don't see your name tag.
Don.
Don. Okay, my thing is, though, but what would make you think Palin would be? Okay, we know John McCain has medical problems. God forbid, if this man is elected and this white female. So what you're saying is, though, the United States would rather see, as long as they're white,
no,
they don't care if she's even a female, but as long as it's a white person.
No, I don't think that's the case.
But she has more executive
experience than he does. He was a community organizer.
That?
Nobody's ever told me what a community organizer is.
Then maybe that's something then that you need to investigate.
To understand how or if race affects voting decisions, we first had to learn more about these voters' experiences with race. And we can begin with Margie and Don.
I can't recall anything that any privilege that I got because I was white. I mean, I went to city schools, but I don't know of anything that I got that because I was white that the black kids could have gotten the same thing.
Back in 63 when I graduated, and my family was the first black family who moved into the suburbs.
That's Margie Orr.
And we weren't wanted there, of course. And the whites did everything they could to intimidate us, to get us to move. But my parents were staunch-hearted people. We weren't going to budge. So, of course, we stayed there. We endured it all, the break-ins, the house being messed up, you know, the whole nine yards, being called niggers.
Margie dabs at her eyes when questioning why diversity has to be enforced.
I mean, my parents taught me to love everybody. So I'm saying, but you have to be taught to love me? That's hard for me to understand.
This is Leah. I guess I grew up very sheltered. I really was totally unaware of prejudice.
Leah Moreland is a widow and former factory worker. She grew up on a farm.
And I lived at the end of the West Market Street bus line. And there was a black man would ride the bus and come out to the end of the line with his shotgun on the bus that would go groundhog hunting. Dad would go out and say, How many orders do you have? Because the people in the black community here in New York ate groundhog. In fact, my mother cooked groundhog. And he would go out and hunt. But, I mean, there was no prejudice in my home.
Leah Moreland's home area is still trying to move past a long history of racial tensions. Like many American cities, York, Pennsylvania suffered a race riot in the 1960s. It lasted 10 days. These days, York's attorneys include Jeff Lobach. He's white, and he's surprised by the intolerance he sees in York even today.
White people are almost invariably shocked when they hear some of the things that African Americans have to put up with. It cuts across economic groups, too. African-American professionals in this town are treated differently. These are highly paid folks who are part of the haves now, and they are definitely treated differently.
How
by
are they
their
treated
peers.
Differently?
We have had incidents where white lawyers wouldn't shake the hand of a black lawyer.
After we heard their stories, we asked all the voters who they plan to back in November, and this is key. We also asked how their racial experience or identity, something we refer to as a cultural compass, factored into that decision.
Remember Margie Orr? She's the receptionist who still carries the scars of integration.
I'm a Democrat, and I'm going to vote for Obama. And one of my reasons is because he is black.
Margie Orr said her vote for Obama is based on pride. But you also hear a touch of paranoia.
And I think he's qualified. And come on, let's face facts. This man is going to be wiretapped up to his eyeballs. Come on, people. You really think he's going to be put in office and they not keep an eye on him?
What do you mean?
Be for real.
What do you mean? Who's they? Who's they is going to be
they're
keeping
gonna,
an eye on?
They're going to watch this man. What's that old saying goes? Like white on rice. He's not going to be his own person, per se. He's going to be screened to the max. They're not going to let him get away with anything.
Who's they is going to...
The white system. That's who they are. Okay?
Jeff Lobach, the attorney.
I think if Senator Obama is elected, it's not going to be because he's an African American. I think we can all agree about that. If he's defeated, I hope it's not because he's an African-American. We can probably all agree about that, too.
He senses that change is in the air. Racial attitudes are shifting, including his own. But his allegiance to his party, that's still solid.
I'm an enthusiastic supporter of McCain right now because I think this is his moment.
And Leah Moreland, the woman who said she grew up sheltered from prejudice?
Right now, McCain is the man.
Party loyalty is also part of her decision, but her cultural compass also comes into play. She said her gut tells her not to trust Obama.
I look at Obama, and I have a question in my mind. Years ago, was he taken into the Muslim faith? And my concern is, the only way you are no longer a Muslim is if you are dead, killed. So in my mind, he's still alive.
There may be many comments about that, but do you want to continue?
Well, I just I want to continue around the room, but I just want to ask one. We'll have a chance to. I just want to go around the room quickly, and we'll come back to that. But I just one very quick question for you. Barack Obama has said repeatedly when asked this question that he is
not a Muslim
and has never been a Muslim.
So you're saying he's a liar.
Accept him as at his word?
No. No. I really don't because I just there's something about him I don't trust. I can't
you
help
don't believe
how
him.
Good a speaker he is. He just has not I just can't trust him.
So at the end of the evening, we tallied up support for the candidates.
Well, we have 7 white voters, and we have 6 voters of color. The majority of the white voters are supporting John McCain. All of the people of color are supporting Barack Obama. What does that say? Coincidence? Or is something else at work?
This is Charlotte. But I only heard one person even even say or think that the reason that they were voting that way was because of race.
Property manager Charlotte Bergdahl, an undecided voter, didn't see a connection between race and political choice, and she wasn't alone.
But after the voters spent a little more time debating that divide, again, all of the voters of color behind Obama, most of the white voters behind John McCain, most came to a reluctant conclusion.
So the question's still on the floor. Does race matter on a subconscious level?
Yes. Could I make,
I think it
Michelle,
does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does, Sarah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Could I make
apparently. But it was not apparent when we first asked voters if race was a factor in their decision.
So that raises one last question. Just how much are we all aware of our own biases or our own fears?
Cal Weary, that black drama teacher, former Bushbagger and current Obama supporter, says deep divisions on race, this group's and the country's, might always be an obstacle.
When someone asks a question like, is America ready for a black president, they're saying, has America forgotten what it's done to black people? And have the black people forgotten what has been done to them? Is he going to be able to go in there and be respected? Because they're still making comments like, oh, but he's so well-spoken. And, oh, my goodness, you know, he's different than the rest. The same kind of thing that I grew up with. And I understand why they're asking the question. If you ask me if I think America's ready for it, I don't think they are. But when are we ever ready for anything that is a radical change? Mm-hmm.
The voices of voters in York, Pennsylvania. And we're not done listening. We're going to head back to Pennsylvania next month to hear more.
And if you want to hear more from this visit to York, go to npr.org. There you can listen to our report from Morning Edition.